did not grow up in that, you know, mm-hmm. environment. So I'm like, oh, great. So, you know, they, yes. you know, you couldn't even share any of this beauty. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. but it was interesting.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we found out lots of things just on this trip. I mean, just going through the one palace. You know, if you haven't been to Europe, you may not know that some of the artwork can be can fill an entire wall.
You're right. I would not have known that.
Like we see a painting like in a history book and we think it's a painting.
Right.
Now, some of these, you know, are like huge, you know. So in this one place, there was this huge painting and it was depicting the coronation of the king. And showing all these people, like thousands of people. And the tour guide says this. He says, now, he says, it looks like, he says, I know what you're thinking. He said, but I want you to understand that they painted things the way they wanted people to think of them and remember them. There were only about 500 people at this coronation.
Oh, no kidding.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, it was like propaganda. They did propaganda. Way back then, I thought propaganda was a new thing.
No, it goes to show it's part of the human condition.
Way back then. And even in this one painting, they had gone back into the painting and painted a young Mozart because he had gotten so popular.
You're kidding me.
No, I kid you not. They had gone in and changed the painting to say this was Mozart was at our coronation as a child.
Oh, my gosh. I'm shaking my head.
I know, but I just have to tell, I mean, you know, it was just eye-opening for me, you know,
wow.
So that's another thing, another reason why travel is so good for people, even travel in our own country to different areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see different things in the history. But mm-hmm. I have to tell you, that was a real wake-up call for me,
yeah.
you know, to realize. And then the other thing they were telling us is when you think about it, all the artwork and things that were in cathedrals, this was the theater and the whole service and all the ritual. This was theater for the people who came. I see your brain going,
yes,
oh my
the
gosh.
The light is coming on.
Yes. So now think about that.
Yes.
So, and I thought, oh, I get it now.
Yes.
So I learned a lot too.
You know, in a word, I'm getting the word releasing, how mm-hmm. releasing it is to continue to be reminded of the human aspect of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's freeing and it's holy.
Yeah.
I believe it's holy.
Yeah.
Embracing that.
For us to know as well as right. So it was so that trip was good for me just because I'm a history buff. I mean, my dad was a teacher. I mean, he was an administrator for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left the high school as the principal and he went back to teaching.
And what was his area of was it history? Was it?
I had him for a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So these were in the days when, you know, that happened.
Wow.
And actually, you know, I was in East Berlin and they switched classes. I had him in fifth and sixth grade for social studies.
Social studies. Got it.
Yeah. So, and what was so interesting because he was a teacher, he felt that he couldn't help me because that was unfair.
Yeah. Well, I can see that.
Right.
My mom was a teacher, and I could see that she made sure that in our district, it was in mm-hmm. Long Island, so, you know, mm-hmm. it was a bigger district. I guess there were like 6 or 7 elementary schools in our district at that time. And she made sure that she never taught in the same school as us, except there was one time, and we never saw her.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but this was wild because I even had him for a teacher and had to do special projects. I mean, my dad was a wonderful teacher. I mean, mm-hmm. there were kids who said if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't know how to do a term paper because mm-hmm. we did that in fifth
But he
and sixth
really
grade.
Ran by the rules, didn't
oh, yeah.
he? He was very much a rule guy. And,
yep.
of course, that fairness came
yeah.
right into it because he would split hairs to be fair,
oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if anything, it was the other way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So exactly.
What was so interesting is because growing up then, when you said about having to be the best, I always felt like I had to be the best.
Sure, because you were his
I had to be the
daughter.
Best in the class. Mm-hmm. Right, because what I did and how I, you know, my grades and everything, you know, reflected on my father. So so that's a lot of pressure.
It is. And I remember I grew up as Mrs. Stedman's daughter.
Yeah,
you know, that,
exactly.
You know, at least from junior high on, because all of the elementary schools funneled into one junior high and then one high school. And so while growing up in elementary school, nobody knew me as Mrs. Stedman's daughter because Mrs. Stedman wasn't in that school.
Yeah.
Once you hit junior high, that was it. And so I was aware, the same way you were, that you know, I was being...
We had to be something else.
Yeah, yeah. I think my teachers would have wished that would have had more impact on my grades at the time, but...
Well, fortunately for me, it did, because I just had to, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I was a rule follower, at least, so at least it kept me on the, quote, good side
of
things.
Well, I wasn't necessarily a rule follower, but I got the good grades.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
Dad, I was valedictorian, but I did not
good
necessarily.
For you. Yeah, I got it. Follow the rules.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think that was a trade-off.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, dark and light, you
gotta,
you know?
You got to have both. You got to have both.
That's right.
You know, so you're still a teacher at heart.
Actually, I am. And my day job, I am now sort of a teacher assistant, you know? I work for a cyber school. I jumped on board there about a year and a half ago. God bless their little hearts. They had faith in me as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, I'd like to round out my professional career doing something different. And I was a fool because I thought just because I knew how to open my email and write an IEP in, you know, electronically on the computer, I could handle this. And, you know, the last day, and I was teaching at Susquehanna School District at the time, and the last day of my employment there, our IT guy, Steve Fisher, he took my hand and he said, "Seal, I am praying for your IT guy where you're going." And I think Steve was the only one that understood the complexity of what I was jumping into. So anyway, long story short, I started there April of 1 year, and I wound up resigning the last day of October the following year. And I said to my boss, I got there early in the morning, and I said, "Lonnie, I need to resign. My family had done an intervention on me, and they said, you need to quit now." Yeah. I was working 70 to 80 hours a week because I wasn't fast enough. I wasn't, you know. And Lonnie was so, because we all come from brick and mortar. We're all educators at one point or another. And he's like, and his face fell and he said, "Seal, what are you going to do?" And I, you know, because I'm 58, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, there are not jobs out there for 58-year-olds. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, after I get off the couch out of my comatose state," I said, "I'll look for a job as a paraprofessional." And you know, and we all know that paraprofessionals do not get paid what they, you know, what they bring to the table.
Sure.
And he looked at me and says, "How can you afford that?" I said, and I looked at him and I said, "I don't know, but I'll figure it out." You know, and so within 48 hours.
I like that attitude. I don't know, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know, and I guess by now I understand that God will, he's in the details and he'll get it right, you know. So there was a 48-hour turnaround because at that time our school was losing special ed teachers because the job is so big, okay? And Lonnie came back to me and said, "We have an offer for you if you're willing to consider this. We would like to build a job around, not me particular, but around my abilities, you know, the collective my, you know, other people like me." And so basically, I am now a special ed advisory teacher. I get the best of everything, Jackie. I get a 40-hour week, okay? They don't even let me take my computer home unless I promise not to work overtime.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they really watch out for me. And I get to support teachers and help them with things that is just, they have too much on their plate. I get to support kids and do the one-on-ones or the two-on-ones that teachers sometimes don't have the time in the day to do. I have a golden job.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And I've been able to stay with a really good organization.
Now, a cyber school, I'm not up on this. Is that all computer-based?
It is. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. My classroom is on the screen of a computer.
Okay.
And the children come on. We use our webcams. We use microphones. We use our headphones.
Okay.
And we talk to each other.
So it's like Skyping.
Over a camera. It's exactly like Skyping.
It's like Skyping that you can work with them one-on-one. How fabulous.
You know, it's cool. It really is cool.
That is so cool.
It's not for everybody, but then neither is what we call now brick and mortar. You know, we have to embrace the understanding that we come to this world with so many different, you know, diversity. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than we think of it as human beings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, cyber school is another opportunity to educate children in a way that they cannot be educated in brick and mortar.
Right. And it's more personalized because every mm-hmm. individual learns differently.
Exactly.
I mean, you and I both know that. Well, you know that because mm-hmm. you're a teacher. I know mm-hmm. that because I've been teaching, you know, intuitive and psyche development.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
everybody comes about it different ways. And, yep. and I tell that, and we know that just being mediums and yep. psychics, everybody gets information from spirit different ways.
Amen. That is the truth.
You know, when you start out, you mm-hmm. think, I don't know about you, but I see these other people, and I think, oh, well, I'm not getting that. And that, but then
it still happens to be Jackie.
Yeah,
and then I
just like sort of kick myself and say, yeah, but maybe they're not getting that, and that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, some people hear spirit. I mean, I'm more clairvoyant where I see mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel them,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so everybody gets different things. Sometimes it's just a pop, you know. So and I'll get different things on different days. So I remember that too.
Yep.
That I'm not the same every day.
It's the truth.
Right. So I have to be open to however it's coming.
And that's the key, is being open, you know. And we talked earlier about how I like to plump my pillows in my rut.
Uh-huh.
And because that's where I find safety. I find safety in a box, in a mm-hmm. box of whatever I understand it to be. I can operate within it, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole understanding of mediumship, or the whole idea of mediumship, is that we must stay as open as we possibly can be to allow spirit to work within our realm. And that has been my challenge, and that's why God had to start with me in a very rudimentary way, okay? Very rudimentary. So,
and to do that, yeah, I love that. But it's so interesting. And, you know, the other thing I like about what we do is I say it validates people and their own experiences with spirit, because everybody has them.
Yep.
And it's the first thing that people will say to me, you know, I felt like my dad was talking to me the other night, and this is what I got. Do you think that was real? You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, it's so funny. It's like they need somebody to say, yes,
mm-hmm.
you know, you
mm-hmm.
were getting that. You know, I mm-hmm. had a lady come into me. It's the first time she had seen a medium, and she came with her daughter, adult daughter, and had her come in, and she walks into my office, and we were sitting, and you know, I like to talk to people a little bit, because I tell them how this works for me, too. I give them a little background. And she looks around, and she's smiling, and she goes, well, I thought it was going to be really dark in here, and there was going to be incense.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and she looks at me, and she giggles, and she says, maybe a crystal ball. She goes, this looks like a normal office. And I had a laugh, and I said, yes, it is. I said, I'm pretty regular.
That is great.
But, you know, the truth is, there are people out there that like the drama,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and there are other people who are psychics and mediums that also like the drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had clients come in and you know, tell me what they're looking for, and I'll just look at them and I'll say, you know, I said, I just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not into that drama side of things. I said, and that's okay. If that's what you want, I said, you really should go spend your money somewhere else, because you're not going to get that here.
And you're hitting a really good point. And that is something that I share with my clients as I'm reading also. I would say, I've been practicing professionally, I don't know, what did I tell you, maybe 6 years,
mm-hmm.
something like that, seven, I don't know. And I would say I can count on one hand still, maybe if I put a sixth thumb out there,
uh-huh.
Of people that I have not been able to read for.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought, you know, I was down on myself, but I was taught, I came to understand that, you know what, for each of us, there is, you know, again, for every pot, there's a lid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so for each of us, there's a doctor, okay?
Right.
And so for each of us, there's a medium. And just because we can't connect with each other, it's not a fault on either one of us. It's
yeah,
just that we
just
need to find the one that connects
right.
with us.
You're just not the right match.
Exactly. And there is, and all of that is good, as long as we recognize it and then allow
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I've had the same thing. And I recently had a lady... she was visiting her daughter, but she was from New York. And I just couldn't get things for her.
Yeah.
And she left, and I contacted her, and I said, you know, I said, I'm sending you your money back.
Yeah.
I said, because I really just couldn't connect.
Right.
And she was surprised, but pleased. And
mm-hmm.
she goes, I'm so She said, I'm just, she said, that's such a level of integrity I wasn't expecting.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. This weekend, and I do that too, you know, mm-hmm. like, but this weekend I was with some friends slash clients in Virginia teaching and reading. And so I was reading for a woman, and again, couldn't connect. And I just finally said, hey, this is it. After about 10 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. I had tried several times to start, wasn't connecting. I said, look, we're not charging for this. You know, mm-hmm. money's off the table. But now let's just sit, have coffee, and talk, you know?
Right.
And she relaxed, I relaxed, you know, and I was able to give her some really good information. And yeah. I'm hoping, and I said to her, I hope you take this with you. You know, whatever fits for you, whatever is accurate, take it with you. And it was just a talk. It was just a conversation.
Right.
And it was perfect. I hate putting money on the table. I don't know. It's better when I just sit and talk with somebody and share. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
But you also are giving a service.
Oh, I get
like
it.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Nope, so nope, just nope, telling
right.
you that, Seal.
Yeah. No, well, everybody's got a mortgage to pay or a rent to pay.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? And I get it.
It's
and
what
I,
you do. And,
yep.
it's a valuable service.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell
yeah.
you, I said the other thing about what I do that I love. I mean, the peace and the
yeah.
smiles and the reliefs
mm-hmm.
that people get. I mean, I've had people give me the biggest hug saying, I
yep.
can't tell you how much better I feel.
And you're absolutely correct.
And I think that's
yeah.
why.
And I think that this is one of my lessons that I'm learning in this
yeah.
lifetime is about, you know, economy and money and how we all have to trade
it's
it.
It's a fair trade.
You know, yeah, it's a fair trade. And, you know, fee. What is that? It's funny. I just had a brain blip. But anyway, F-E-E, and it's a fair exchange of energy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Fair exchange of energy. And so I'm coming to understand. But every so often, if we can just say, put the money aside, let's just have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's needed at that moment for that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And,
but
and everybody, you know, sort of that whole energy, that chaotic energy sort of lowers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then things can get through.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so
exactly.
cool.
It is. Definitely.
So when you teach, mm-hmm. well, I have to just keep an eye on the time, everybody.
Well, that's
so
right.
When you teach, mm-hmm. you know, what are, you know, I always tell people, they're picking up things now.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about that
yeah,
really quickly.
Everybody is picking up things now.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't believe it mostly.
Well, you know, can I speak to that for a
sure.
second? You know, I guess over the years, either as a pastoral associate or as a medium or whatever it is, whenever we're working our God
mm-hmm.
jobs, whatever that may be, people will come, some people will come and they'll ask questions about God and how do you know that, you know, loving or how do you know? And this has become one of my responses that, you know, God is a parent, right? I mean, at least in my world. God is a parent. And so I say to my friends or I say to whoever I'm talking to, you're a parent, okay? So would you ever send your child out into the world without a way to phone home?
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever send your child out into the world without a way to communicate with them? Now, I'm sure you're a very good parent. But now we need to take that 7 times 70. That's how good God is. Do you think he or she would ever send us out to this world without a way to talk with us and for us to talk to them?
Oh, no. I like that.
But it's the truth. You boil it down. It's right there.
Yeah, but you have
so
to put it into understandable terms.
Yes.
You know, when
yes.
then people can understand that.
And if I speak to you as a parent or
yeah.
somebody who is, you know, a child of a parent, you know, or
mm-hmm.
a parent if you know, I'm not a biological parent, but I'm a parent of little four-footed
oh,
animals, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm an aunt. I know that there is this bond that you will throw yourself in front of a bus if it is to save that life.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm only human. And if I have it, imagine the connection that God has, you know, to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he would never send us out here without a way to talk to us. And so it is all about, you know, we're born into the world. We're born into society.
Mm-hmm.
And society, you know, has a tendency to scrub away things that society is afraid of or whatever, okay? And so then, so we come. And then we learn to forget. It's a learned behavior. But some of us who are really, really brave never forget. I cannot tell you, I'm one of those brave ones. I forgot. And then I remembered.
Well, because I have a lot of parents with kids that are really tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, in this day and age, there's more information out there.
Oh, yes.
And it's not as scary for parents.
Oh,
but even
yes.
now, there are, I've had a lot of parents come to me with, how do I help my little one? Because mm-hmm. she's seeing people or hearing people. And sometimes, you know, it frightens them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's interesting, Seal, I've actually had more boys than girls.
That is interesting.
And I would have thought it would have been the other way around, maybe because I'm a woman, mm-hmm. but I always think women are more intuitive. But here's my thought. So now you're a teacher, so you know this with kids. I think the boys are more, I'm going to say brave. They're more likely to tell you about it than the little girls.
Okay. Now,
what do you think?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
My brain is going in a different place, that I think that women... We are raised, girls are raised, mm-hmm. to be so in tune with everybody around them because we are the mothers, we are the maternal, we are the nurturers, mm-hmm. Collectively.
Right.
And so we use our intuition, and I believe girls are very intuitive, but we use our intuition to care for those around us. I think that boys are taught to be different, and so I don't know. This isn't making sense, and I'd have to think about it further. But you're right in the way that we're wired differently, the boys and the girls.
Yeah.
And so I just find it interesting. And yeah, guys are allowed to just sort of come out with things that maybe girls aren't.
Yeah.
So I definitely see that.
You know,
yeah.
It's like I always say sometimes with guys it's like they just say it.
Yeah, well, yeah,
they don't worry so much about how it's maybe affecting you.
With the girls, they are, and maybe that's how it fits.
Right.
Yes.
So guys will just say it, and these little boys will just say it, So it's interesting. So I've actually spent a lot of times working with parents, telling them little tips on, what to tell, their sons or daughters about how to approach somebody that they're seeing and things like that. And I feel that we're educating parents is how we're helping the kids.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And because the other thing is when the parents aren't afraid of what they're seeing, then the kids aren't afraid. When the parents don't get excited,
That's right. We're born of love and fear is taught.
Exactly. But now this is just on the side, but fear was taught by the church.
oh, and I will not. And again, the humanness.
Yeah.
The humanness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It pervades everything, but look at us.
Yeah, and of course, God is not. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
As a little kid sitting in church, and we were doing one of those things about the fear of God, and I remember looking over at my grandmother and saying, Grandma, I said, I don't understand. I said, God is love. And she just looked at me and smiled.
Yeah.
And I thought, so even as a child, as a kid, you understand that.
Yes.
I just wasn't internalizing this fear thing because I was saying, no.
Good for you,
Jackie. He's just wrong about that.
Good for you, Jackie.
Because God is love.
Good for you. Many of us can't. Many of us,
conditioning. It's conditioning.
Exactly.
So I love that about everything. And so I'm just got to keep an eye on things. Oh, Dave, you're right. He's giving me the smile, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah.
Is it time?
Hey, yeah. Now, Seal, tell everybody how they can find and connect with you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I have an office right now inside the Interconnection in New Cumberland.
Okay, wonderful.
And really, if anybody calls there, they can get to me.
Okay. And the Interconnection is this wonderful shop in New Cumberland. And if you haven't been there, you will love it.
Oh, it is growing tremendously. And Rata Lee, the owner, she is, she's all about community and serving and service.
Yeah.
So truly, truly, it's growing, it's burgeoning, and watch for it.
Yeah. Lots of books and good information. And you are one of several mm-hmm. meters. And
oh, yes, yeah. Very much.
So everybody, so look for the interconnection in New Cumberland, and you can find Cecilia Jackson.
Jackie, this has been a real blessing.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Yes. Okay, everybody, I want to thank again my lovely guest this morning, Cecilia Jackson. We had so much fun on the radio today. I hope you enjoyed it because we were just chatting about lots of good information and things that we teach in our classes, and we had some aha moments ourselves. So I love when we can have that. So definitely thank you for joining us. And for information about evidential mediumship, spiritual readings, or animal communication that I do, please visit my website at jacquielebeau.com. That's JacquielebeauAU.com. Or call my office at 717-968-5289. And I'm available for in-person, phone, and group readings.